right. That's good. That's good. We need to hear that. We should be excited to be here. You'll just have to bear with me. I kind of losing my voice a little bit. I must have got too excited in the first service. And now I'm sucking on cough drops and drinking water. But God is good. He's all the time good. Amen. You guys ready for a message today that I feel from God? Yeah. You know, sometimes when you have a message from the Lord, it seems like the enemy comes in and tries to do everything he can do to discourage you or to make it not happen. And from a natural standpoint, I probably had one of those weeks. And then even up to last night and this morning, usually Saturday nights I don't do anything because I'm just, I don't want to usually be out much. You know, I want to still be in this mind of God throughout the whole evening. And so I went and picked my daughter up, my wife and I did, and while we were sitting in the yard out front of Little Caesars, a guy pulled in park in a Cadillac, and he didn't put his car in park. And all of a sudden, it just smashed into my new truck. So it didn't really, you know, it was like, you know, what else? You know, what else is this foolishness this guy's going to try to pull on me, you know? And I know some people don't like to blame everything on the devil, but, and I don't either, but, you know, sometimes we need to blame it on him. Because sometimes it's him. And then this morning my phone wasn't working good and I was trying to listen to worship music. And so I'm like, I got to spray the, I'm in my office, you know, studying. And I'm like, I got to spray the speaker and the inputs and where you plug it in. So I knew I had one of those air blasters. And so I reach in my, you know, down in my cabinet, grab this can, start spraying it. And I'm looking at it, it's like, this isn't air coming out. There's stuff coming out of this that I'm spraying directly into all the ports and the speakers. And I stopped and I looked and it was like a product that causes plastic coatings. And I'm like, yeah, devil, you know, this is going to be a great service today. And then I dug through and found my air blaster and cleaned it out, plugged it in and it worked. But, you know, sometimes that's how the enemy works. You know, in life, we just have these obstacles that come against us. But praise God, Jesus is bigger than our problems. And he's bigger than all the obstacles that the enemy wants to bring our way. And there's times we just need to stand our ground and recognize where it's coming from in the name of Jesus. Anyhow, let me read this scripture, and then I'll pray, and we'll get right into my message. Because I really feel that God has given me something for us today. And I'm going to read from Matthew. And it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your enlightenment through scriptures and through your spirit. And this morning, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds, will peel back the scales, the veils that are on our eyes, and enlighten us and allow us to expose what the enemy would try to do in our life that he would want to try to destroy. But we're stronger because of you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I titled my message just simply, A House Divided. A House Divided. The scripture says, if the house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. You know, there's a spirit of separation and division that is in our world today. And it seems to be everywhere we've turned. There seems to be separation in families, separations in marriages, separations in race, separations in politics. We're seeing that right now in Canada, and it's crazy in the U.S. Just crazy. The Democrats and the Liberals are like on this civil war against one another. It's so polar opposites, but they're separated. The country's separated. Our country, you know, Liberals and Conservatives, we see separation. We see the separation in marriages where couples take separate vacations. I don't get that, personally, but that's normal, right? People today, everybody's taking separate vacations. Maybe their marriage is so bad that they got to get a break from their spouse. But that's not how it should be. I don't want a break from my spouse. I want to be hanging out with my queen. Our anniversary's coming up. We're going away for a couple days. Pastor Ken's away. It was his anniversary yesterday. But we don't take separate vacations. How many people you see have separate bank accounts? They're married. You know, he has his and she has hers. And you pay for this and I'll pay for that. And, you know, separation. There's separations even when they get married. I'm going to keep my name and you can keep your name. Separation, division. We watch different television shows. Now, most guys probably don't watch the same show as their wife. Like, I know this is going to be a button that some people are going to get upset about, right? Now, I'm fortunate. My wife watches action movies with me. But, get this, I watch the woman's channel with her, too. I'm in touch with my sensitive side. She tapes these movies constantly from the women's channel, right? We're actually now watching Christmas movies now. And we're sitting there watching one this week, and we're trying to break Hannah's new boyfriend into this. And he's sitting there, and Hannah's looking over. She's like, "Dad, are you crying?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not crying. There's just something in my eye, you know." But guys, you need to watch these, you know, not allow separation in your house. And it may just come right down to you get divided over, well, he'll never watch TV with me. He's too busy watching the ball game or the hockey game. But that's the culture. This separation, this division in households. It happens in churches. It happens everywhere. There seems to be a spirit of division in the world today that wants to divide, to keep us separate from things. So a house divided won't stand. We need to be unified. And I'll get into that, but guess where the division started? It started right in the garden. You see, division is the strategy of Satan. It started right in the garden. He caused a division between Adam and Eve and God. And that set it for mankind. That was his strategy. His strategy was, if I can keep people from serving God, from being in fellowship with him, I will win. That's the devil's strategy. And if he can begin to subtly break you away from the things of God in your marriage or in life, he'll start to take a step. So it started all in the garden, this division for all mankind. But we need to be aware of these things. We've been talking about the church late. We've been talking about spiritual awareness and hiding your spiritual senses. But we need to realize that there is a spirit of division that's in the world that wants to divide us. So my first point would say, don't allow Satan in. And you would say, well, what do you mean, don't allow Satan in? I'm a Christian. Satan can't get at me. Satan can't use me. I'm a Christian. Well, I'm going to read you something. Not my words. I'm going to read you a little bit of a text out of Luke of Judas's betrayal to Jesus. And it says, now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Verse 3, pay attention. It says, then Satan entered Judas, one of the 12. Oh, okay, let's stop here and talk for just a minute. So maybe people would say, well, you know, Satan can't work in me. He can't get in me. Well, this is one of the 12 disciples. This is one of Jesus' 12, the closest tangible persons to Jesus. Like, he walked with him. He talked with him. He sat under his teachings. And what does the Bible say? It says Satan entered Judas. Sorry, folks, to tell you, he can enter us. We have to be careful. The Bible says to guard our hearts. So he can enter us, but we can resist him. But we have to guard our hearts and our minds. And in Romans it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the word of God. And it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit's desire. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We have to guard ourselves and guard our minds. You see, they entered into this conversation. And my next point would be, don't enter into divisive talks. It will enter into betrayal. In verse 4, it says, Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and guarded, and the temple guard, and discussed with them how they might betray Jesus. And they were delighted and agreed to give him money. And he consulted and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when the crowd was present. Don't enter into these conversations, these divisive talks. See, they plotted against him. And when I say enter into these things, you know, it's so easy in our life to begin to chit-chat about things. And it's really easy. You know, I think back in marriage, when we first got married, we went to my church. Deidre came to my church. And I said to her, there's some people here. There's these three or four women I don't want you to hang out with. And I know she kind of looked first at me probably a little strange. I said, I don't want you hanging out with them. I don't want you hanging out with them. She said, well, you know, we were talking, why? And I said, well, these women always sit around their table having a coffee and they're running their wife down or their husbands down. They're constantly trash talking their husbands. And a lot of them, they ended up in divorce because they run their husbands down. And I said, I don't want you to be influenced by that. You hear what I'm saying? And the Bible, it's plain to see in the Bible. The Bible says to mark those that cause division and have no place with them. Mark them. Have no fellowship with them if they're going to be divisive and they're going to backtalk and be like that. So I mark these women. And don't get me wrong, I've been around guys that run their wife down. And I don't go for that. I don't hang out with guys like that. And when I've been sitting with people that, some guys that started to talk about their wife and, oh, she's an old battle axe and, you know, she's just trouble and blah, blah, blah. And they're constantly just trashing their wife. I don't do that. I don't do that at all. I'll just speak up and say, you know what? I got the best wife in the world. I got that custom-made woman that God made for me. She's the smartest lady in the world to me. She's the prettiest in the world to me. That's how I'll enter into those conversations. We need to be careful. The Bible says that Jesus said in John 6:43, stop grumbling among you. Stop grumbling. Complaints, complaining. It doesn't grow your marriage. It doesn't grow your family if you're constantly complaining about your kids or your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. I've seen people that have allowed that wedge to be driven, and they will tend to take that bitterness to the grave, which is a sad thing. You see, spirits can be transferred. That's why I say when you're in a group, be careful what you say. Determine whether you're speaking a life or whether you're speaking in negativity. Because you can speak negative things. You can run down people. You can run down organizations. Most of the time, it's to only elevate yourself. Because it's prideful. Or I can do this better. Or I'm better at this. Or she should do this for me. Or I should do, you know, she should be doing this. Given as a key. That we don't enter in this because it's important. Because we can divide ourselves from God by allowing the enemy to come in and place this in our house, in our marriage, in our life, in our church. You see, you can have good spirits transferred onto you too. You can be around people that are full of faith. They're talking positive, and they're pushing you, and you're excited to be around them. And you know, I think of Matthew when he went to Bible school. There was this young guy, and Dad, he says, this guy's radical. You know, he said, it's infectious. It rubs off on everybody in a good way. He said, like, we can hear him clear through the dorm when he's in the shower. He couldn't sing, but he sang to the top of his lungs. Everybody could hear him. Then one weekend, Matthew brings him home. He's at our place, and my walls were insulated in the insides of the house. So you couldn't hear, but we could still hear him. He was so loud. And you know, he was just worshiping the Lord, and he was praising his name, and he was full of faith, and it was getting me pumped up before I went to church, just listening to him, being in that environment. You know, when you have, there's times that, I hate to point people out in church, but there's times that there's some prayer ladies in this church that I just want them to pray for me. There's been ladies in this church, there's one in particular, that she was praying over and the power of God was on her, and I just went over and put my hand on her shoulder. I didn't say nothing, I didn't pray. I just wanted that spirit to be transferred to me. You see, good things can be transferred, bad things can be transferred. But it's important, you see, because we want to be in unity. We want to be one. We don't want to allow the enemy to use us. You know, when the enemy comes against us and he brings thoughts in our heads and he wants us to enter into a divisive situation, the Bible says to stand against the devil. It says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord in the power of my might. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When he tries to come and put himself on you or knocks at your door, says, I want to come in. That's when we need to open our spiritual eyes and say, no, I'm not going to enter into that. I'm going to stand against that. I'm not going to be a part of that. That's hard sometimes to do because it's easy to enter in and it's easy to gossip. And it's easy to, you know, it's easy. Satan makes it easy for us, just like he makes the ways of the world easy. This is good for your flesh. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, My wife, she no good. Mine is not mine. Mine's great. But it's easy. We need to stand. We need to resist when he comes. We need to expose the enemy. We need to have enough spiritual insight to recognize, oh, this is the enemy coming in wanting to divide my house, or wanting to divide me against my wife, or wanting to divide me against my son or my daughter, or, oh, wanting me to divide myself between my brothers and sisters in church, or want to divide myself against people at work. I know this seems, is it okay? Am I saying okay? Sometimes we just need to say it the way it is. I'm not preaching anything that isn't in the Word of God. And I believe God give that for us right this time in our lives. We need to be a recognize. We need to recognize the enemy. We need to cut the head off the snake. When that divisive thing starts and people start to talk, that's when you say, no, I'm not interested in that. I'll have no part of that. I'm not hanging out with that person. The Bible says to mark those. I didn't say it. Beware of those. But don't let that enter in, because that'll cause you to pull away from God too. It causes that split. So why does Satan operate this way? Why? Why has he done this from the beginning? Why has he tried to divide houses and divide marriages, divide churches, divide jobs? Well, here's what it says. Do you know that there is power in agreement? There's power in unity when we're unified. There's a power in that. He doesn't want us to be power. He wants us to be powerless. He wants us to always be in a tailspin, complaining, this and that. He doesn't want us to do exploits for God. What does the Bible say? In Matthew it says, again I say to you that if any two agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. If any two, there's more than two. What about on the days of Acts? It says they were all gathered in one accord. They were all in unity in the name of Jesus. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and he dumped down on them. If we want, that's why the enemy doesn't want us to be in unity, because there's a power in agreement. The Bible says one shall put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Think of it, folks. If we can get an agreement together, whether it be in our marriage, we can have the best marriage in the world if we're in agreement on everything and not divided. After 31 years, she's still my girlfriend, my sweetheart, my best friend. We're in agreement at home. We're in agreement. Think about if we could get an agreement in our church. Think of what we could do if we worked together in agreement as a team, if everybody was rowing the right way and not some rowing forward and some rowing backwards and some rowing sideways. We could do something, but we need to get rid of this flesh of ours, and we need to recognize to not allow the enemy to come in. Don't let your pride and your selfishness get in the way of agreement in the Spirit, because God has great things. Unified we stand, divided we fall. We know that. Folks, we need to live a unified life. We need to live this unified life. You might say, well, I can't resist the devil. You can resist the devil. You can. In Corinthians, it says, the weapons of your warfare, I think I got the right scripture, are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You and God in agreement can do anything. Folks, you, hear me again, and God in agreement can do anything. We, as a congregation in agreement, can do anything. We can do anything. We can reach the city. If we'll just be in agreement. Are we ready? Are we willing to put some of our stuff aside and allow Him to come to the forefront? Are we willing to not let the enemy into our life? Stand on guard. Stand on guard. He wants to destroy us. He wants to separate us from God. You see, Judas was used by Satan. And he betrayed Jesus. Jesus said, what did he say to him? He said, woe is to him. He said, woe is to him who betrays me. And what happened? He did betray him. And Judas went out and he hung himself. He ended in death. You see, our lives, when we do not follow the ways of God, we end in death, a spiritual death. There's a spiritual death comes with. This has a happy ending, this story. Maybe not for Judas, but a happy story for all mankind. Because the biggest betrayal became the greatest victory. You might be here and you may feel betrayed. But I'm telling you, God's on your side. He can turn the biggest betrayal into the greatest victory in your life. He did it for all mankind when he went to that cross and was hung and was raised again and took back the keys of hell for you. That greatest victory. It's our time to be in agreement. It's our time to take that out of here. Let's all stand. I hope these words really just stick with us today. I really hope we take what was said and kind of just take it home with us this week and let it settle in us. Let it churn just like you would. Nobody probably knows how to make butter here, but you take cream and you turn it until it gets thick in the butter. Let this go and churn in your spirit and think about things and sift through your heart and see if there's things that need to be weeded out. Because God wants us to be in agreement. He wants us to be a church that's unified. A marriage that's unified. A family that's unified. That is God, is unity. He brought us back. He gave us an opportunity to come back into His fellowship and cause unity. Let's just bow our heads. If you're here today and you can identify with some of the words I said and you want prayer at this time, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for a few of you folks. I'm going to pray for everybody. But yes, there's lots of hands going up. I think this message challenges us all in our lives. So let's just bow our heads and let's just be mindful of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we ask for a repentant spirit, a repentant heart in our life. Lord, if we have entered into divisive things in our life, if we've talked down the kingdom, if we've talked down our wives or our children, Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us, Lord, today of those things. And we come against the enemy that would knock at the door of our heart and want to enter in and want to use us for destruction and not for good. Lord, I come against that spirit of division in this place, and I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I serve notice on you, spirit of divisive one, that would try to destroy. We sever your head right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave this body, our own bodies. You have no place in us, for the greater one lives in us. And we yield ourselves and our spirit to the greater one, Jesus Christ, today. Lord, I pray that you'll meet any need that maybe needed to be met today. Lord, I pray for those individuals. And I pray that you make us uncomfortable so that we'll continue to press closer to you to hear what you would want us to do, that we would be what you would want us to be, that we would respond and act the way you would want us, that we would take on your attributes and not the enemy's attributes. Pray a blessing over everyone here today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.